Welcome to this week's edition of Spiritual, Intuitive and Holistic Entrepreneurs Business Circle. My name is Andrea Cowding. I'm a content strategist and I'm here as usual today with Kerry McGilvray, Psychic Medium, delivering some awesome and juicy content to you directly about how to transition from hobby into a business with your spiritual practice. That is our topic today. Hi, Kerry. How are you?
Hi, how you going? So I just want to give everyone good. I just wanted to give everyone a heads up. I'm not feeling 100% today, so if I cough or anything like that, my voice goes a bit funny. You know why?
just don't die while we're live, okay? That would be a bit rude to our viewers.
All right? It would be a little bit rude, but what a spectacle it would be!
I know. It might even go viral.
Probably. Oh, dear.
Okay, so last week we talked a little bit about the differences between a hobby and a business in a spiritual practice, but today we want to delve a lot deeper into what it takes to actually take your spiritual practice into that level where you are generating an income and you can call it a business. So let's start with talking about why you need to treat your practice as a business.
There's a number of reasons that I would suggest that you do that. And one of them is actually setting the intention with the universe that you want it to support you in the long run. So when you actually start out and you're only starting as a hobby, you're not sending a very clear message to the universe to say that this is something that you want to do full time. This is what you really want to, you know, follow through with. So if you start it at the beginning treating it like a business, and that just could mean simple things, right? It doesn't mean that you need to go out and have a website, you need to, you know, have a shop front and all those kind of things. It could just be the simplest things of having a separate bank account that you put all the money from your readings or your healings or whatever it is that you have into that bank account. So that you're saying to the universe that this is the place that I keep my money from that part. So it sends clear messages and clear definitions about what you need and what you want to progress towards. The other thing too is that it's easier to do at the beginning than it is to do halfway through. So there's a lot of stuff in the back end that needs to happen. Right? So it's easier to do it when you're not bringing in as much income than it is when you're bringing in, you know, thousands a month, and then you've got to go back to the accountant and go, yeah, by the way, I need this done.
Yeah, accountants just love that sort of stuff, don't they?
I know. They just look at you and go, so it's really good to start at the beginning when you're not trying to juggle as much in the business, so then all the stuff that is necessary from a legal and tax point of view is all set up and ready to go.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later in some more detail. It's interesting that you bring up stuff around the law of attraction, because spiritual entrepreneurs talk about the law of attraction all the time, and it means a slightly different thing to everybody, but at the same time there's this contradiction of we talk about the law of attraction and attracting wealth and abundance and health and all that sort of stuff, but when it comes to treating their practice as a business, spiritual entrepreneurs often just don't do it. They don't know how to do it, or they just don't want to do it. They are reluctant, hence not charging for readings or not charging what they are worth, not just readings but any sort of service that they provide. So there's that kind of contradiction that always fascinated me about this whole process. So
it's a constant struggle.
It is, but treating your business as a practice is, your practice as a business. You told me that was going to be something that I'm going to turn around. Yeah, definitely. Treating your practice as a business requires that you actually apply the law of attraction to your finances, to your money as well. and make that as a part of your business.
And some people even get to the point where, you know, like, I mean, we'll talk about it later, and you do really need to get a good accountant. So that's one thing. And any kind of financial stuff that we talk about today, don't take us on our word. Always check with your accountant. But what I find is that quite a lot of people are quite happy to have it as a hobby, because then you don't have to pay tax on it. So you don't have to pay tax on when they're a hobby. But what you don't realize is that when you actually have it as a business, there's a lot of other tax breaks that you can get as well. So, you know, you're kind of sending mixed messages out to the universe. And the other thing too is, if you have to pay tax in your business, my God, you're earning a lot of money. Like,
exactly.
That's a great thing.
Exactly.
Like, that's awesome. Yeah. You should be celebrating the day you have to pay tax on your business. Because that means that you've actually nailed it. You're finally getting there.
Yeah.
It's a cause for celebration.
Even if it's just the minimal amount, as soon as you reach that tax-free threshold, that means you've earned at least that much money that you need to pay tax. So paying tax is not a bad thing. It's actually not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of people also need to wrap their head around, that, I don't know. This is segueing into something else a little bit, but I just look at taxes as a contribution to the universal good. You know, regardless of what political party is in power or what they're going to use the money for, it's, you know, contributing to the communal petty cash tin, so to speak. So,
and it's funny because
it's almost like spreading the love.
Yeah, it is.
Say that about and tax.
It's funny because you mentioned the political part. And what I found was that I grew up in a household that were all pretty much not executive workers, right? So we were always swayed to the Labor Party. You know, when I first voted, I think I voted Labor because that's what everyone in my house said I should vote for, because I wouldn't have a clue. But they, you know, people who tend to focus on that part always tend to focus on, because Labor was the one who used to reduce the taxes, right? They were always fighting to reduce the taxes. So it's funny that part of your upbringing can, like, impact that part of your mindset about whether you actually want to take it as a business, because some of us believe that the big bad business owners take everything from the little guy, you know. So it then comes in, that then comes into play. It's all past mindset that we're going to cover in a couple of weeks, but it's just funny that we touched on it. Yeah. It's fascinating how that will cause us to make the decision of that we treat it as a practice or a hobby.
Wow. That's a whole new viewpoint on it that I haven't even considered, but a very good point you bring up. And we all have some sort of a taxpayer background in one way or another. You know, we do contribute to the greater good, so to speak. So we all participate in that process. And if you choose to participate with an energy of contribution instead of begrudging, then that is what is going to come back to you. Because the law of attraction, very simple, I think.
It is very, very simple.
Definitely. All right. Now, what we want to talk about next is this. And this is a common question that people ask is, should I transition into full-time or part-time in my practice? So what was your experience, Kerry?
So I did my business part-time while I worked full-time for a good number of years, and I actually transitioned from full-time work into full-time in the business. Now, I had a lot of other issues going on with my health that caused me to make that jump as much as I did. But when I sit back now and look back on that process, if I wasn't as sick as I was at the time, I probably would have taken the step down to part-time and stayed there for a while before I even considered dropping down and doing the business full-time. And I think that what it does is it takes a lot of the pressure off when you're in a business. So, you know, once you jump from a full-time income straight into full-time business, then all of a sudden your business has to support everything. And then all that, regardless of the mindset work that you did before you made the jump, it all comes creeping back in, because then all of a sudden you have to make sure that you have enough for the bills and you have enough for the food and you pay the mortgage on time or your rent or whatever it is, all those things that line up that were just so automatically paid for with your full-time job. It just then all, sits on your shoulders, and then you go, you know, and the second that you start doing that and you're full-time in your business, then the money just goes, oh, my God, no, I can't go there. Like, you know, it's like an automatic repellent. So sometimes your clients can then drop off. So it's quite I would definitely recommend that you go from full-time work, like from full-time doing whatever you're doing, and picking up your practice part-time. If you can afford to do that with the part-time income and really support yourself on the part-time income, then that's the way I would do it. I would do it so you didn't have to rely on business income for anything.
This is what I've noticed, and it actually applies to any sort of business, not just spiritual practices, but any sort of business where you, especially if you had a regular job that you turned up to either 5 days a week or however many days a week that you did it, but you knew that you had a fixed income, that was your fixed point, and it was coming in regardless. But when you transition into business, your money cycle is completely different, because even if you have regular clients coming in, it's not going to be, your income isn't going to be the same each week or each month. So regulating your outgoings to that as well, it's going to be completely different. And like you said, this is where a lot of people get really freaked out, because there isn't that, even that subconscious knowledge that, I'm going to get paid on Wednesday or Thursday, or I'm going to get paid on the 15th of every month. This is what I noticed with myself, because I went from full-time corporate into full-time business with literally no overlap. There was a bit of overlap where I was doing my business part-time, but I knew that the full-time job was coming to an end, and after that it was going to be full-time business. So even with that knowledge, once I started in my business full-time, I noticed after a couple of months that there was that thing in the back of my head, in my subconscious mind, that kept reminding me that there's no regular income coming in on the 15th. You know, it was constantly there, and it was causing quite a bit of stress. So in hindsight now, I almost wish that I had a more of an overlap and a more of a winding down the corporate job and winding up the business a little bit more. Definitely. So even my view is, even if you have regular clients coming in your spiritual practice, don't cut off whatever fixed income you already have to transition into your business without some sort of an overlapping period.
That's just
my bit, I think.
Well, that's why I would definitely recommend, like, if you feel that you're getting enough clients in, that you're thinking that you're almost ready to do that, I would definitely either work with the company that you're at and say, oh, look, you know, is it possible that I could drop a day or drop 2 days and just maybe work part-time with who you're at?
Yeah.
Or find a part-time job for you. Actually leave. It just takes the stress out of it, and it means that you can still focus on your business with the right energy and the abundance mindset that you need to still be able to grow it to the point that you have that constant regular income. And once you start seeing the pattern that you're constantly getting the amount of money that you need every month, then maybe you drop an extra day at the part-time job. Do you know what I mean? I would always recommend that you transition through. It's just, it takes the stress out of it. And yeah, you don't want to be in business and stressed. That's never a good mix. Yeah.
Well, it's stressful already, but when you have some added stuff that doesn't really need to be there, then it just makes it all the worse. Because especially when you're a solo practitioner, you're it. Yes. You're everything.
That's it. That's right. Everything is on and you know,
and that is a lot of stress.
And the other thing too is, you know, like today, for example, I'm not 100% right, and you can hear it in my voice. And that means that if I don't work today, I don't get any income. I don't get sick leave. You know, I don't get paid sick leave anymore. So that really impacts your actual cash flow of what's actually coming in. So you need to take that into consideration when you're looking at these things. That's why sometimes it's still good to have, and yes, a part-time job is still a crutch, right? But at the same time, if you can stay in a part-time job for 3 or 4 years and build your business to the point where your accountant finally turns around and goes, well, you know what, you could probably do this full-time now, right? Because they're the ones who see all the money coming in and you know, they're probably going to tell you by that time that you might need to start to register for GST. And, you know, when all those things start to happen, you can kind of go, oh, okay, well, I've kind of held that income for the last 3 years. Maybe I could do this full time and just kind of take those steps then. When you get that consistent sign that it's all lining up, that's when you want to try it out. Or even if you have another good way to do it is if you actually have long service leave where you are. That's a really, really great way to do it.
If you manage to stick it out at one place for long enough, to get that, or even if you manage to accumulate some annual leave, although that wouldn't be too much, but still it would be some sort of a transitioning period. I think this is where the question comes up, or more of an observation from my part, is that a lot of spiritual practitioners who do work in some sort of a capacity, like for another small business or in a corporate job, whatever, many of them work in something that is completely unrelated and has nothing to do with their spiritual practice. Like I come from practicing my spirituality and doing readings and all that, and I've been doing that for a couple of years while I had a corporate job, but my corporate job was in IT. So, you know, completely different genre, completely different everything. So what I observed with a lot of these practitioners is that they fulfill themselves through their part-time spiritual practice or hobby spiritual practice, but they reach a stage where they just go, I just can't do my corporate job anymore, or I just can't do my retail job anymore, or there's just that massive dissonance between what they are doing and what they are supposed to be doing, that their body just goes, nah, I've had enough. You've had enough mentally, you've had enough emotionally, and you just know that you need to make a change. So this
and that
is
was me
where
last
I
year.
Think, I think a lot of people reach that stage. So if you're watching now, or if you're watching the replay, and this is how you feel, let us know, because we want to tell you you're not alone, you're not by yourself. Both Kerry and I have been there, and many other people have been there in the spiritual field, who have felt that misalignment, that feeling of being completely out of balance between what you're doing and what you're supposed to be doing. So I suppose for those people, if this is it, then and you don't want to leave, or you can't afford to leave your full-time job or your part-time job, this is where you maybe need to transition into something that is more aligned with you spiritually, that will give you a regular income, but will also allow you to practice your spirituality at the same time and grow your practice and your business. So.
And it can also come down to how you look at what you do, because what I found was when I was in the corporate world, the more I used to think about the fact that, because I was like you, right, you were in IT, I was an analyst, total logic side of my brain had nothing to do with my other part, you know, that I love, right? The only thing that I used to switch across was I used to automatically coach others and inspire them, whoever I was talking to. So that was how I got my little bit in the corporate world. And then the other thing was that's how I got my fix while I was at work. And see patterns, and that was the intuition side kind of pointing them out to me. But what I used to do was I used to tell myself, and I used to reframe it and say that this job allows me to grow my business. So sometimes I found that when you find that real misalignment within, it's not necessarily the job. Well, of course it is, do you know what I mean? Because your call is higher than that. Your call is to help and serve others, which is why you're in a spiritual practice as it is. But what you can do is you can find ways to help and serve others at work, and you can change the way you think about it. And if you change the way you think about it, then the misalignment lifts a bit and it allows you to keep doing what you need to do to support your family.
Exactly. I think a lot of people have this misconception that they need to work on their money mindset or their abundance mindset, because there is something wrong with that. When the abundance is there, when you're still making an income, you have a regular income coming in, there is abundance. That is abundance, you know. Acknowledge that and work on that and be grateful for that, that you have the opportunity to bring in an income plus practice your spirituality at the same time. So the day job is not a drag, it's not a hindrance, it's actually an enabler.
Yes.
For these people.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's talk about how people can make their transition smoother, because you have some really good ideas about that.
Yes.
So share the ideas with us.
So I'll take you through what I did as a transition. So 6 months out before I transitioned, or actually probably 2 years, I kept telling myself I've got 12 months. So that was my thing. I kept saying to the universe, I want to be out doing the business in 12 months. Took me 2 years, but that's okay. sometimes we're slow. But then what I did was when I really, really made the call and gave the date to myself as to when I wanted to be out, I started planning. So in order to have a smooth transition, it comes down to planning. And I know that that's such a human, boring thing to do, but you do need to plan it because, you know, you've got to allow for the fact that when you take that jump, there's going to be that massive dip in income. So you want to make sure that you plan a good 6 to 12 months out so that you start saving for those dips. Right, because you need to understand that you're now a business owner, and that's a completely different mindset with a different cash flow. So you want to make sure that you've put aside anywhere from 6 to 12 months worth of expenses so that you don't have the stress of relying on your business, and your business is then just topping up your kitty. Do you know what I mean? Like it just keeps topping it up and topping it up, and then that way you're not actually feeling like you're down to your last cent every week. And you can then start moving forward. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It makes perfect sense, because when your cash is running low, that's when desperation starts setting in. And that's when people make mistakes in their business. Things like, you know, they heavily discount products and services. They take on jobs that they are not really aligned with, you know, not really in their zone of genius. And yeah, you know, I know that because I've done that too. To take on a particular job for the money, and not because it was within my zone of genius. It doesn't mean that I didn't do a good job, you know. Of course I did, but it just wasn't as fulfilling as I would like my business to be. So this is what I find with a lot of spiritual practice that I talk to is, you know, their zone of genius is in something, you know, but oh, I need the money, so I'm just going to, you know, book myself in for that psychic fair, wherever, and then go, it's not really their thing, they don't really like doing it, but they think that's gonna, that it's going to bring in the money that they need for that month, and they do it, and it might turn out okay, you know, you get some sort of an income out of it, but does it really feed your soul? That's why you left your other job in the first place.
That's right.
So you can do what you want to do, not what you have to do.
Mm. And it's funny when you talk about the whole desperation and like turning to a psychic fair that you would never normally do, because what you'll find is when you do something like that is the clients that you get at that fair all tend to mirror what you're going through. So they'll all seem to be desperate. They'll all seem to be complaining about money if that's why you've taken the job. Mm. They'll all be talking about career changes, you know, like they all kind of, they'll all be basically coming to you so you get the message that you shouldn't be doing this for the money. Do you know what I mean? Like you shouldn't be putting yourself in that situation just because you feel that you need the money, even though it's not something that feeds your soul. So it's really fascinating when that happens.
How that works.
It is very, very funny.
It is. And that is also law of attraction, isn't it?
Yes.
What you put out, you get back. It's not just about the good things. It's also about the uncomfortable and the yucky things and the confronting things.
Yes.
And I think when you transition into a spiritual practice or any sort of business, really, there are a lot of confronting things that you need to face that you didn't have to.
Yeah. Lots of elephants in the room that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of mindset issues and money issues and all that. And like you said, we're going to dedicate a whole show just for those things because it's worth exploring the topic a lot further. Yeah. Okay, so we talked about some things to make the transition easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about things that people need to do or must do if they want to transition into a business. So what are the business essentials that you found you needed for transitioning into a spiritual practice as a business?
Absolutely number one essential, good accountant. Number one, hands down. If you take your yearly income to Mr. ITP who just does it in the shopping center, unless he really deals with sole traders, I would find yourself a better accountant. It is worth the money and it's worth the meeting goal to have a really good accountant who knows what he's doing, knows what he can claim, can give you the right advice too, because when you run your own business, you don't want to run into any tax issues. So you want someone who can give you the right advice when it comes to how to handle your money, what you can claim, because you don't want to try and do it yourself and claim the wrong thing and then end up being audited, right? Because no one wants the tax man to come and knock on your door for that kind of stuff. So
not really.
no one wants to see.
Dealing with an accountant is about as much fun as going to the dentist, I think, for most people. But
you need a better accountant. Mine's awesome.
Thing is, you know, either one, if you want to see in an emergency, that means that things are really bad.
Yes.
And you don't want things to get that bad. And there are accountants out there who support spiritual businesses who will not look at you sideways when you want to claim a bulk buy of 50 pendulums because you did a workshop. And you bought 50 pendulums on eBay and you want to, you know, deduct it from your tax. You know, they're not going to look at you like,
what the hell? Well, first of all, they don't know what a pendulum is. So that's always fun to explain that.
Yeah, so there are some good accountants that are hiding in Facebook groups for spiritual entrepreneurs. You may not know that they are accountants. So, you know, I would actually do a call out, you know, put a post up, hey, people, I'm looking for a spiritually aware accountant. that's what I would do.
Yeah. So definitely, that's the first thing. That's one of the biggest essentials that you'll ever need. I think it's super, super important because you want to make sure that you don't get yourself in any trouble. And there's a lot of stuff that we don't know that changes all the time when it comes to that stuff. So you're better off just getting someone who knows their stuff. The other essentials, the simple things, like you want to get yourself an ABN, a sole trader ABN. If you don't want to set it up, your accountant can do that. That's simple. You also want to get yourself a separate business account so that all the money that you get goes straight into that account, because then when you have to supply those documents to your accountant, it's simple, right? If you have to go through your normal everyday account that has all your coffees and you know, your groceries and everything else, it does your head in, and it'll drive your accountant insane if he's got to sift through that to work things out. So just make it easier all round. Plus then it gives you an opportunity to actually physically see what's coming in so you can track it better, because that's really important to track your money that's actually coming in.
Important for mindset, absolutely.
Yeah, very, very important. The other thing that I would also recommend is I actually wouldn't start with a website. I wouldn't even touch a website until you're well and truly established. I would stick with things like Facebook page and maybe even Instagram if that's your preferred platform, and start with them, because you just don't need to spend all that money on a website to begin with, because a lot of the traffic that you're going to get isn't going to come from there, right? So there's no use spending all that money on it until you're ready to. So until you start to want to ramp up your business and you're getting decent income coming in, then it's time to start looking at, you know, logos and branding and, you know, all that kind of jazz and websites. I wouldn't do any of that at the beginning. I would just get out there and start.
All the businessy stuff that's fun to plan, you know, picking out colors and fonts and finding pretty pictures and all that sort of stuff. That's the fun part of it, I think. But definitely agree with you, Kerry, that those costs aren't essential at the beginning.
No, definitely not at the beginning.
First
The only thing that I do like and wish I had had earlier was a booking system. So that's one thing that I wish I had a lot earlier, because for a good probably 3 years I used to do it all manually, and I'd go backward and forward with clients, and you know, there goes half an hour just trying to work out a time. Whereas now I use Acuity, which is a really good booking system if you need one. And it's simple. You set in there the times that you want, you just send them a link and they can find the time that suits them. Like, it's really simple, and it processes the payment there. So that's all simple. The other thing that is really essential is that you need to get yourself a payment, do you call them gateways or something? I would strongly recommend PayPal over all the others. I use PayPal and Stripe. Now, Stripe won't process psychic readings, so I only use that for my courses. But PayPal will allow you to do that. So when you're looking at a proper payment gateway that you need to process payments, you want to check their terms and conditions. Because I actually went down the path once of I picked up Square, a Square reader, and I thought, oh, this is great. And I didn't read the terms and conditions of sales. And what happened was that I used it once, and after the day after the fair, they cancelled my account because they had it, because in their terms and conditions, they deemed selling crystals and psychic readings as part of occult practices, and they don't process payments like that. So they canned my account. So I then went to PayPal. Don't go with Square if you're in the spiritual industry. Not a good idea. PayPal, don't judge. So unless you're a drug dealer, which I'm pretty sure most of us aren't, they're pretty good and flexible in that regards, right? That's about the only thing that they said that they won't allow you to do. And I could just imagine the look of a drug dealer on the corner with a PayPal thing where you can tap your card. Sorry. my imagination wow. runs wild. But, yeah, definitely go with PayPal for most spiritual entrepreneurs, as you will find less issues. You can still do subscriptions in it. You can link it to your website later on. You can link it to your Acuity so it processes the payments automatically, which then means the customers pay you before they arrive, which then also means they turn up, right?
Yes.
So yes. They're the kind of things that I would stick with first. Other than that, that's probably the basics bare minimum. So definitely a booking system, an ABN, a bank account, a great accountant, and a Facebook or Instagram page. That's it.
Something to let people know that you're open for business.
That's
and,
it.
And how do spiritual practitioners get their business? They get it by people booking in for sessions and then paying for those sessions. So it makes perfect sense to have those sorted first and foremost to make sure that they work, because the easier for people to book in and the easier for people to pay you, the more likely that they will actually do it.
Yes.
I remember trying to book in with a psychic. This was a while ago, sometime last year, for a short session. And I had to go from their Facebook page. There was a button on their Facebook page that took me to their website, where I had to go and find another page that had the button on it. So I pressed the button and it took me back to their shop on Facebook. So I went halfway around the world only to end up back in the same place. I just abandoned it. I never booked the reading. I never paid, because it was just like this is insane.
Complicated.
So, yeah. My advice from a content point of view would be to get your terms and conditions sorted. So under what conditions you work, how you do your readings, you know, refunds and booking cancellations and postponements and all that sort of stuff. Have those sorted as well, because when someone comes back to you with a problem, and that is unavoidable because sooner or later someone will, then you have something to fall back on and go, look, these are my terms and conditions. So that is how I work. You've got something to rely on. That's also very important, I think.
So, yes. Yeah, that's good. And having them somewhere listed, like if you've got a Facebook page, I think they've got areas where you can put that in the information about the page, so you can actually add your terms and conditions to your Facebook page, and later on you'd add them to your website. So, and you can also add it in Acuity, I do believe. So there's an area where
you can
put it in Acuity as well,
which is really good.
Yeah,
Acuity. There is a free version that doesn't have all the features, but you can start with the free version and then build your way up. It costs something like, I don't know, $15 a month. Aussie.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's really not a huge cost. It's not a huge cost.
And it's well worth it, I actually. The $15 a month means that if you're doing sessions for people overseas or even in different parts of Australia, the time zone's all sorted. Do you know what I mean? You don't even have to think about it. They pick their time zone and they just pick the times that work within their time zone. And that's it. And it just books the times that you're available. It just shows it to them in their time zone, so it's easier and simpler for you.
Yeah. Didn't you have a workshop or just recently, or it's happening soon about that sort of stuff? Have I seen something come across my desk?
I am doing it inside my spiritual and business support group. I'm doing a workshop on Acuity and Zoom. I do that on Friday. Okay. But that's the paid subscription group.
Okay. How do people get into that group?
I can pop a link below if they like. So it's just,
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So what else have we got coming up? We're going to talk about the meetup because we organized a meetup that is happening on the first Tuesday of each month. And September, which the 4th or 5th of September, the 4th of September, that's going to be our inaugural meetup for the Intuitive Spiritual and Holistic Business Circle. And it's happening in Campbelltown at the Meditation Space. So I'll pop the link for the meetup in the underneath the video, so you guys can check it out. Those of you who are watching live or watching later, I might even see if I can add, hang on, meetup link. Just bear with me for a second. Let's see if I can just copy that into. Okay, here we go. Because I'm still sort of experimenting with. Here we go. There it is. There's a bunch of numbers, but the link will be in the comments. So we started this meetup. We came up with the idea, Kerry and I. This was a mutual brainchild. Because we wanted to give spiritual entrepreneurs.
You call it a nice thing, a brainchild. I would call it a brain fart.
we wanted to create a space where people can come together in the spiritual space to discuss business, you know, help each other, do some networking, and along those lines. Definitely not a spiritual development class or anything like that. No, this is all about business and growing business and getting to know other people in the industry and see how people can work together
to share experiences,
support each other's business. Yeah,
share experiences because we can all learn from each other different things. So, you know, it's really important to kind of, you know, remember that we're not alone because there's so many networking events out there. None of us have us in mind in this space, so that's why we wanted to do it, because we don't get that support and we're afraid to ask. And so many of us, you know, everybody all on their own, we need, you know, a team. We all have to work together to do it. So this is why it's really important to have this space where we can get together and actually start to focus on doing that work together and know that we can support each other and help each other, because sometimes there's going to be people that come to me for things and I'm not the right fit, and that's okay because I can't help everybody, right? But it's good to have that networking space where I can then refer them onto someone who I feel is a better fit for them.
Exactly.
And then the customer feels comfortable because I've already vetted that person, because I know who they are and we've worked together and we've done all this stuff. So it's all about sharing the love.
It is. I think I just got an idea for another show to talk about competition as opposed to or the competition versus support in the spiritual community. I think we can talk
that's going to be juicy.
That's going to be juicy because we both have experiences, similar and different experiences. So maybe, you know, we could give you the download on the good, bad, and the ugly on all that. but for now, just keep in mind the meetup. We would love to see you there. We'd love you to register for the event because we do have limited space. So we want to make sure that we're all comfortable and not crammed in.
And it starts at 10 o'clock next Tuesday.
Yes. 10 o'clock on Tuesday. Barry will post the link to the meetup to her page, and I will do the same. So if anyone's watching from my page, you will find it there. And those of you watching from Kerry's page, you will find it there as well. So before we say goodbye for today, let's mention what we're going to talk about next Tuesday, which is the live is going to be after the meetup. It's going to be a little bit later, I think somewhere around 2 or 2.30.
Probably about 1.
Depending on how we can swing it on the day. So we're going to talk about shops and fairs and online readings, what the difference is between working in those different spaces and how you can make the best of it, and things to avoid, you know, do's and don'ts and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Lots of information.
So tune in next week if you want to know more about those things.
Excellent.
Yeah. Any final words for today, Kerry?
Geez. Get outside and enjoy some sun, because I don't know when it's coming back.
Yes. Unless you have a team of road workers like I do just outside of my house, and there's heavy machinery and sometimes the ground shakes. So if you've been hearing some interesting noises through the camera microphone, that's what it is. Yes, go outside.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So let's wrap up for the day.
Yep. Sounds good. I will also pop the in the comments the link to the business support group for those who are interested.
Yes, do that. Yep. Alrighty, you all have a great rest of Tuesday and rest of the week, and make sure that you tune in next Tuesday or you turn up for the meetup. We'd love to meet you. So for now, we shall say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.